This Mixed Sunday Morning podcast is presented by Robo Motors in Sylacauga, Alabama. Well known for quality pre-owned automobiles, RVs, boats, and motorcycles, and by Sylacauga Handicapped, the area's premier source of handicapped mobility and motoring equipment. Listen to the full show from 8 to 11 a.m. on Sundays on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix1065Radio.com, the Mix 106.5 mobile apps, and the Mix 106.5 skill on Amazon's Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama. Every week, we feature encouraging stories and have a great conversation with guests about their faith. Welcome to Mix Sunday Morning for the week of November 19th, 2023. I'm Greg Wyckoff, your host. In the studio, over the phone, Brother Mark Mattson. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Greg. Thank you so much.
Well, we introduced you in the beginning of the show, and I'm really excited because we kind of know each other. We were in the same church at the same time. I was young. You were one of the older ones I kind of looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
But who is Mark Mattson?
Well, Mark Mattson is a 57-year-old Baptist pastor who was born and raised in the great town of Sylacauga, Alabama. And I was actually born in 1966 at the Great Hospital of Sylacauga Hospital, which, of course, is now Coosa Valley Medical Center.
Yes, sir.
And, just born and raised in Sylacauga. Man, went to Pinecrest and East Highland and Sylacauga High School, graduating in 1984. And, man, just have all kinds of incredible memories of my childhood and my middle school and high school years, and what an absolute joy I had during those years. Many people, Greg, will just talk so negatively about their childhood years, but man, that wasn't for me. I have just incredible memories of those years of my life, and I'm very grateful for being able to call Sylacauga my home. Great friends, not only in my class, but younger than me and older than me, and those will always be cherished. I graduated in 1984 and went to the University of Alabama. As a freshman, I walked on the football team in the fall of 1984 as a punter, as I was a punter and a quarterback at Sylacauga back in my high school days. And the interesting thing about that is the year that I wanted to try to make the Alabama football team was the first year in the history of the University of Alabama that they gave a full-ride, four-year scholarship to also another punter coming out of high school. And so I stepped onto the campus of Alabama kind of way, way already behind the eight ball because of that. But I stuck it out for that first year, had great experiences there. Being on the field and practices and that sort of thing. But the Lord had other things for me at that time, looking back on it now. And so I didn't continue after that. Graduated in 1988 from the University of Alabama. I began my working career at Liberty National Life Insurance Company in Birmingham. I was there for about 2 years, and while there, I had a major back surgery, and everything at that time led to old football injuries. But it manifested itself when I was a junior in college. And about 4 years later, I had major back surgery. And because of that, this is just the kind of the storyline here. Because of that, I was laid up for about 8 to 10 weeks. And as a result of that, I put on about 40 to 50 extra pounds as a 23-year-old because of not being able to exercise. That led me to then, as I'm working in Birmingham, living in the Vestavia Hills area, I was just tired of not being able to lose that weight because I had never experienced that before, you know, being that young and that sort of thing. So I decided to go to get some help to get that weight off. And one evening in August, I went to Nutrisystem over in the Hoover area. I walked in and I said, I need help, you know, with this. And one thing led to another. And I had to attend a weight loss class every week when I came in to weigh and get my food. And so I stepped into that first class, and the instructor is and became my eventual bride.
Wow.
Angela. And so she instructed me during these weeks of teaching me how to control my weight and that sort of thing. And one thing led to another, and inevitably we started dating. We got engaged, and then we got married in June of 1991. And so we've been married 33 great and incredible years. And shortly after we started dating, it was my wife, Angela, who really almost caused me to come to a complete halt in my thinking and what God was doing in my life. And I attribute her tenacity, if you will, in getting me to slow down and to discern God's will for my life and for our lives together eventually. And as a result of that, over the course of about 3 to 4 months while we were engaged and dating, the Lord led me and called me into full-time ministry. And so I then made the transition to the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. And that was actually before we got married. It was January of 1991. I began my seminary education there in New Orleans. We got married in June. In 1992, February, we had our first child. So that was kind of a quick turn of events. We have two biological children, Alex and Austin, and they are 29 and 31 currently. As we went through our ministry together, I became on staff at First Baptist Church of New Orleans for several years. Then God called us to First Baptist Church, Marietta, Georgia. Then from there, we went down to Calvary Baptist Church in Clearwater, Florida for several years, back up to the great state of Georgia and served at First Baptist Church, Thomaston, Georgia. And then about 10 years ago, God called me to where I am serving now at First Baptist Church, Peachtree City, Georgia, home of the golf cart world. we have 110 miles of golf cart paths, and you can get anywhere in the city by golf cart. And so that is what Peachtree City is known for, among other things. And like I said, we've been here almost 10 years. And another interesting thing about who Mark Mattson is back in 2004, after we had decided that we were not able to have any more biological children, we became foster parents. And for 20 years now, we have and are foster parents. And over the course of those years, we have fostered in our home somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 40 different children over the course of a weekend to as long as 2.5 to 3 years. That resulted in us adopting three of those children. And so we are adoptive parents as well. And we have a 19-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 11-year-old that are all adopted in our home now. And just love every bit of that and what God continues to teach each and every one of us in our family about his goodness and grace in relationship to that. Also, when we were in Calvary, back in the early 2000s, we took in a young man that very much came a significant part of our home. We never officially adopted him, but we call him our child, and so he is also considered a significant part of that. And this was a young man who had a very rough growing up. He still has a great relationship with his mom, just like we do. But we took him in, and the interesting thing about him was that the story of The Blind Side, and I'm sure you have seen that movie.
Yes, sir.
That movie could have been done on the Mattson family as well, because this gentleman is very, very smart. He graduated from Clearwater High School in the top five of his class, went on to play football at Wake Forest University as an offensive tackle. And so we were able to walk that journey with him. And he is now a ER physician in the Nashville, Tennessee area, and has been doing that now for many, many years, several years. And so, man, we just love ministry. We love people. And I just am so grateful for what God has allowed me to do and continue to do. And I love every moment of what I do and discipling people and impacting their lives and being able to love on people and tell them about Jesus and let the Holy Spirit and the Lord do the rest. That's who Mark Mattson is.
Man, that is, thank you for opening up and sharing all of that with us. That is an amazing journey. It's not complete. That's the coolest part about it, but an amazing ride that the Lord has given you, the best seat in the house.
Absolutely.
Well, all right. We'll come back with more of Mark Mattson right here on Mix Sunday Morning. It's Mix Sunday Morning in the studio over the phone from Peachtree City, Georgia, Brother Mark Mattson. Mark, thank you for, like I said, just opening up and sharing your family with us and what you've been able to do with foster kids, adoption, and then bringing in a young man and giving him an opportunity to play football. And as you said, now the Lord's using him in Nashville, Tennessee. A cool story that we'll get into a little bit more later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But every week I ask guests to bring a Bible verse or share something on their heart that the Lord has laid on them. So I'm excited to hear what you're bringing to the show this week.
Yeah, Greg, again, thank you for that. You know, let me just kind of do the on-wrap as to what I would like to share. And for us as a church right now, we are and have been going through a study together as an entire church, both with our life groups at all ages, as well as our senior pastor in his preaching ministry on Sunday morning. And it's called Come and See. And the tagline under that is learning to follow Jesus. And the cool thing about this is that we are approaching this as though each and every one of us are the 13th disciple. You know, we know that Jesus had 12 disciples, but in this study, for us as an entire church family, we are looking at it through the lens of as though I, Mark Mattson, or whoever else, was the 13th disciple. And so we're walking and following Jesus throughout his ministry here on earth. And I'm just amazed at how capturing and how enlightening all of these studies and these parables that we have been going through as a church has really caused us to, as we look through that lens of the 13th disciple, being able to experience what Jesus was doing as he walked this earth. And so that's kind of the headway with that. But several weeks ago, we at church looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan. And, you know, it's one of those parables that, you know, when people hear the Good Samaritan, they're like, oh, yeah, I've heard about that. But it's not until you really dig into that that you just absolutely see so much in this passage that probably you've never thought of or seen ever before. And so I'd just like to share this morning some of those highlights, because I believe it can and will be encouraging for all of us. But as the passage goes, and I'm reading out of the Luke's account of this in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke in verse 25. But right off the bat, it talks about an expert in the law who stood up to test Jesus, and he was wanting to know that ultimate question of how do I get eternal life? How do I inherit eternal life? And it's interesting that someone like that would ask Jesus that question. It causes us to think that here this guy is, although he is a expert in the law, probably not necessarily a follower of Jesus, but he wants to get Jesus caught in something that he can then use against him later on. And Jesus, replies to him, well, what is written in the law? And he gives him an answer, and he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. A very familiar passage that we first learn of back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first and great commandment, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, those two verses, love the Lord your God, is what was called a part of the Shema. And the Shema was something that the folks then, the teachers of the law and other things would wear around their foreheads in what was called a phylactery. And they would pull out these verses and read them. And so this expert in the law was already very knowledgeable of this, and he approaches Jesus, and he already knew the law, and all he had to do at this particular point was live the law. So as the story goes, he then brings up this great story of a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers. And as he was laying there on the floor, we're introduced to three other characters, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. And the priest, as scripture says, happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too the Levite, when he came to the place, saw him, passed him by on the other side. Now, it's important to know that the journey of this man who was robbed and the priest and the Levite, as it says, they were coming from Jerusalem down to Jericho. That's significant because it begs the question, well, where, what were they doing in Jerusalem? And the answer to that is simply they had been in the temple. They had been doing their yearly, they had made their yearly journey to the temple to do the cleansing and to do all of that. And here they are finishing those responsibilities, and they're going back home. They're traveling that 18 to 20 mile path. And again, this path was very known for crime and other type of things. They're making their way home back to Jericho when they come across this guy. Now, it's interesting too that the man who was robbed, the Levite and the priest, were all neighbors. And they were neighbors because they were all Jews. And here this priest and this Levite goes down and they see a fellow Jew and yet do absolutely nothing to help this man who has been beaten and robbed. Then we come along and we hear about a third man, and it says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Think about it. A Samaritan. Samaritan and Jews had no, absolute, no friendship, relationship, or nothing. That culture was contradictory, in conflict. But yet this guy, this Samaritan, took pity on this Jew who was robbed. And the story says that he took him, he bandaged his wounds right then and there, he poured oil and wine on him, he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. He stayed with this man overnight, and the next day it says that he took out 2 silver coins and told the innkeeper, this should be plenty of money. Take care of him, whatever he needs. And when I return, if you spend more than that, I will reimburse you. I will pay you for whatever extra expense that you have. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut out along here because I know time is a little tight, but it begs us to be challenged today to think about how we love other people. And to love people requires that we love God, and without love for God, how can we truly love people?
That's right.
You know, a lot of people, Greg, have blind spots. Blind spots are those things that other people can see in us, but we can't see them because for whatever reason. And a blind spot for a lot of people is that they think they love people. Oh, yes, they will say, yes, I love people. Yes, I love people. But actually what they're saying is that they love the idea of loving people.
Correct.
Because prejudice and self-righteousness and culture and whatever else creeps in our lives, and it causes us to not really love people. And so many people, I believe, even today, are the priest and the Levite in this story. Yes, I love people. Yes, I will go and buy this. But do they truly believe that and live that when nobody else is around? Love cannot be isolated in mere words, but must be followed through with actions. So the question for us today is, how do we act out of love? Our relationship with fellow human beings validates or invalidates our claims to know and love God. And this passage really just brings, that to light. And again, I could keep going, but let me finish up here. What were some of the excuses? You know, we all as humans will come up with some type of excuse when we are held accountable or caught on the carpet for various things. What were some of the excuses for the priest and the Levite? Too dangerous to stop on this path. They knew that it was crime infested. They didn't want to be ambushed themselves. You know, I have to believe that they were probably saying, man, I've just been in the temple. I've been doing my religious duties. I got to get home and see my family. Mm-hmm. Someone else will help him. Man, I don't know first aid. How can I help this guy? I'm hungry. I've been at church. What's the first thing we do every Sunday morning as Christ followers when we go to church? Man, we're going to the restaurant, right?
That's right.
We're going there because we're hungry. I ain't got time to stop and help people. I've got to get to where I need to do. What about the Samaritan? How was this Samaritan like Jesus? Remember now, Samaritans and Jews did not interact. They were not really friends. But how was this Samaritan like Jesus? A couple of insights. He was an outsider, despised by many. Wasn't Jesus that way? He came after others and failed to meet the need. Came before it was too late. This man got there before it was too late. He came with everything necessary. He came right to the afflicted man. He gave tender care, and he provided for future needs. And man, that's a great picture of who our Jesus is, and reminds us that we are to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Verse 36, and I'll be finishing up. It says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The proof is in the pudding. Of course, the man said, the one who had mercy on him. The question for us as to who is a neighbor in this story shifted to the question of to whom he was a neighbor. And that's a very distinct difference in that. What would our world be like, Greg, if every Christian, every Christ follower, every believer who has a relationship with Jesus Christ and who claims that, attended to the sorrows that are right in front of us? I think our world, our country, our counties, our cities would really be changed forever if we really lived out this story of the Great Samaritan.
Amen. Thank you for opening up the word and sharing that with us this morning, Brother Mark. And we'll be back with Mark Mattson right here on Mixed Sunday Morning. It's Mixed Sunday Morning, and we have been blessed this morning on the phone, Brother Mark Mattson. Mark, the funny thing, we laughed about it once we finished the segment of who is Mark Mattson. You said you forgot something, and don't feel alone in that, because I've had guests in the studio here. I've had men that have gone through who they were, and as soon as it was over, they said, "I forgot my wife." And I've had women in here that would go through this wonderful story about everything, and when we got through, they forgot their husband. And we've laughed about it. It's been really funny.
Yep.
But
yep.
You mentioned some people that are very important in your life that you wanted to add to who is Mark Mattson.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is obviously my mom and dad, Willie and Norma Mattson. And I am blessed to be able to say that I still have both of my parents with us. My dad just last week turned 92, and my mom is 90. And, you know, everything of who I am is attributable to the raising, the teachings, the patience, the discernment of my mom and dad. And I would not. And I don't say this lightly, because a lot of people will say that, but I truly know when I say that I would I would not be where I am today if it were not for my parents. And what they did in teaching me, you know, Greg, I can remember as a young man, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, seventh grade, I can remember every Sunday afternoon after we came home and we had lunch, you know, you got to go play a little bit, but my dad it was just something that I did. There were a lot of times I didn't really want to because I was playing and having a good time, but he would call me in and he would go over with me the training union lesson for that night. You remember that word? You probably don't even remember that word, training union, but that's what we did at Mignon every Sunday night. And, you know, it was those things along with many, many others that I can just, man, my dad was just incredible and my mom as well. But, you know, my dad was the church treasurer at Mignon Baptist Church for, gosh, I don't remember how long, 40 years maybe. My mom played the organ when I was growing up. I can remember looking over there at her playing behind that organ and just, you know, I had no idea the significance of that then because I was just a little boy and I was just trying to be still in church, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, looking at it now and what they did for their church and our congregation was just enormous. And, you know, it wasn't because they were forced to. It was because that's what they understood living the Christian life is about. And they did it joyfully. You know, scripture tells us that we are to live life abundantly. And man, every day that God gives me breath of life, I want to live joyfully with a joyful heart. Yeah, there's tough times. There's challenging times. There's difficult times in relationships and financial and all those types of things. But man, our God is good. And man, my parents are there. My dad, many of the listeners will know that he kind of ran the show at Michael's hardware store there in Sylacauga for many, many years. He was also on the city council, as a councilman for many years. And just a lot of impact in the city of Sylacauga. My mom was basically a stay-at-home mom until I actually started high school. And she went to work for a bank there in Sylacauga. And my mom is one of those people that would do just absolutely anything for you. And again, Dad is doing very, very well right now. You know, at 92, I can see him living to be 112. Mm-hmm. You know, so doesn't take him, but he's just trucking along, and I'm amazed at just his health and doing so well. My mom, on the other hand, has been conflicted with Alzheimer's and dementia for many, many years now, and she is at Coosa Valley in the nursing home there, and actually right down the hall from where she gave birth to me. And she's been there now since September-ish, and it's just a daily prayer thing for her. And I know the Lord has her. But it's just very difficult, you know, to see a parent being able to live in that state. And, you know, that's what I'll say about that. But man, my parents are awesome and I love them to death and they're just great people. And I also have one sister, Nancy Honeycutt. And, she was an Auburn grad and went there. So we're kind of a split family a little bit. But she still lives in the Sylacauga area and is there. She's retired now for working at Cheehaw Mental Health Center her entire career. She got that out of college and just recently retired a couple of years ago. But I'm very, very grateful for my family. They're very, very significant to me.
We'll be right back with Mark Batson right here on Mix Sunday Morning. It's Mix Sunday Morning. I have been honored, and I know you have too, and blessed to have Mark Batson on the phone with us from Peachtree City, Georgia. We've learned a lot about you, Mark, your life, opening up the Word to us. And as I sat here through it, I thought about how neat it is that God rubs people together in seasons of life. We begin, I guess I'd say, our journey together, even though we didn't know it, at Mignon Baptist Church.
Yes, sir.
At Mignon, there was a youth pastor, Scott Steelman. And I was blown away last week when we talked on the phone that you and Scott are still connected, and you took a trip to see him, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, back in September, the end of September. Yep.
And he is in South America now?
He is in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Not quite South America, but kind of in that Caribbean
yes, sir.
Area.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought that was, you know, what a small world sometimes.
Absolutely.
Our mutual friend, David McCurley, filled me in on some info on another passion in my life that I don't do anymore, but I did. You started a upward basketball program at church?
Yes, sir.
And how many kids are involved in that program?
Right now, this current year that we started back the 1st of November, we have the month of November for practices. Our first game will be December the 2nd. We'll end our season in the middle of February. But this year we have 520 boys and girls ages K through 6th grade in our upward ministry. And this is the largest number of participants in our upward ministry since our beginning of the ministry 15 years ago. Last year was our biggest at 464. This year, we've surpassed that to 520. And the reason we had to cap it there is because we just run out of space. We have to have two facilities, two venues to get all the teams to practice and games. And we are currently right now looking towards next year and even expanding more. But in order to do that, we're going to have some an additional facility or venue to do that.
Mm, that's good stuff. Well, do you have one more segment? Do you have time for one more?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we'll be back with Mark Batson on Mix Sunday Morning. It's time for the Suit Up Ministry Minute by Dr. Jeff Springer, right here on Mix Sunday Morning.
Just left an elementary classroom, an amazing lesson on the importance of why we celebrate veterans. And one of the questions that the teacher asked this first grade bilingual class was, who are the heroes in your life? One little boy raised his hand and said, Spider-Man. A little girl raised her hand and said, Wonder Woman. Finally, one little girl in the back of the room said, Me Papa. And the teacher asked, Why? Your papa, your dad. And she said, Because my dad takes care of me. What's sad is we have too many children in this world that don't have a papa or a dad in their life. Men that are fathers, be the dad. As Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate or provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord. In order for us to do that, men, fathers, to be the dad, we have to be present. Be the dad, suit up, get off the bench, get in the game. Be the hero in your children's life. Suit up.
That's Dr. Jeff Springer with the Suit Up Ministry Minute right here on Mix Sunday Morning. It's Mix Sunday Morning. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening over the airways of Mix 106.5. Or if you're listening on the podcast, I appreciate you doing that. I want to thank Robo Motors and Silicaga Handicap, Mr. Dickie Wright, for sponsoring the show. This week, we've had the honor to have Brother Mark Mattson on with us, and I kept him over for, I guess we call it, overtime. So one more segment with him, and I just wanted to ask you, you touched on it just a little while ago, but I like to ask the question to my guest, if someone were listening right now, that's struggling with whatever, the gamut of what we face in this world. What could you tell them this morning, Brother Mark?
I would tell them that there is a Jesus that loves them unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And he is as close as the skin on our body to each and every one of us. And although we can't see him now, we know that he is alive and that he has an investment in us. For someone who is lost and without Jesus, I encourage you to come to that realization that you are nothing without Jesus and that he desires a relationship with you. For those that are believers and Christ followers, please understand that Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he wants everything of us. And yes, you're right, Greg. We're going to have trials and tribulations. There's a great song out there called Joy in the Morning.
Yes.
And again, I live that because regardless of what a day presents to us, especially those days that are very difficult, you know what? We wake up the next morning and we get to live and be with Jesus. And that should give us joy. And he is there with us if we only ask him to guide us and all of that. And it's just another reminder and promise, too, that if we were the only person on this earth, if Greg Wyckoff was the only person on this earth, Jesus still would have went to the cross just for you.
And when we
truly absorb that, man, it ought to help us to realize that God is so loving and he is so just everything for us. And why would we not want to live our lives living the example that he gave for us? And it's just, that's what I would say. That Jesus is real. He's there and he's awesome and he can help you. He still heals. He still helps people get out of financial hardship. If we only ask him and live our lives according to that.
Well, Brother Mark, thank you for taking the time. I know you have a very busy schedule to come on the show, because you have, as I said earlier, you have not only blessed me, but I know you've blessed our listeners. I hope that when you can make the trip to Sylacauga, that you'll have some time that we can sit down for maybe just a minute and get something to eat, grab a cup of coffee, whatever. We could just sit down for just a few minutes.
Absolutely, Greg. I would love that. And again, to all the folks listening, especially in the Sylacauga area, thank you for, you know, the investment of that great city, because it has made a significant difference in my life. And I'm forever grateful for the memories of Sylacauga. And man, when I come visit, I still reminisce and think about all the good times in my life there in Sylacauga. So thank you, Greg, for this opportunity.
Well, thank you. That is Mark Mattson right here on Mixed Sunday Morning. And if the Lord doesn't come back, I'll be back next week. I'm Greg Wyckoff. Simon. Thanks for listening. If you like what you've heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix1065Radio.com, the Mix 106.5 mobile apps, or the Mix 106.5 skill on Amazon's Alexa-enabled smart speakers. I'm Greg Wyckoff, and this program is a product of Radio Alabama.